for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia, back with another episode and another speaker. So today we have a very, very interesting topic, and it's all about psychology's path to authentic transformation, free from spiritual bypassing. So the reason why I find this one very interesting is once you're on this healing journey, you will naturally come across a lot of people who do a lot of work on themselves. And a common link that I've personally observed around me is this false idea of spirituality. And this can be very misleading, in my opinion. So I would love to have this conversation with my guest today. And not only is she someone who's spiritual, but she's also a clinical psychologist. So let me first introduce Ari. So Ari is a clinical psychologist and a movement therapist, and she's going to enlighten us about this topic today. But first, welcome to the show, Ari. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you so much. So excited for the conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So let's just dive right in, shall
we? Sure.
So let's just dissect this term, spiritual bypassing. You know, I'm pretty sure people have heard of this before, or for those who've never heard of this before, what exactly is spiritual bypassing?
Sure. So Nia, when we talk about spiritual bypassing, it's nothing but when anyone follows the path of spirituality, that doesn't mean that you can not see difficulties, pain, sorrow, right? Yeah. Spirituality is not a path where you just feel like everything is positive or everything is beautiful or everything is very meditative, everything is very transcendental. No, there will be sorrows, there will be, you know, anger, there will be pain. And when people try to ignore those things and then come to a path which we call a spirituality, that is what spiritual bypassing.
Because I love that you just told us exactly what that is, because you're so right. Because when you look into people who are on this path, mm-hmm. I feel like it's such a misconception that spirituality is meant to be light. You know, when reality, or when the world mm-hmm. without spirituality, if you're not on that path, when things are hard and tough and sad, mm-hmm. when you move into spirituality, there's this false or this misconception mm-hmm. about how things are meant to be light, happy, hunky-dory, fairies and daisies, right?
Yes, and also we observe and we see that, you know, spirituality, people sometimes misthink about it's an escape from hardship. But no, spirituality mm-hmm. is not an escape from hardship. Everyone's journey of spirituality can be very different. Like, what is your journey of spirituality versus mm-hmm. mine can be very different. And sometimes spirituality might throw back a lot of hardship, a lot of, you know, mm-hmm. Self-awareness, self-acknowledgement might happen in this path.
Yeah.
And it's very important to tap on those difficult emotions. It's very important to process them, accept them. And then when you choose the path of spirituality, I think that's most authentic, and that's where true healing starts.
So for those who are still unclear, what exactly is spirituality?
Sure. I feel sometimes people interpret religion and spirituality, right?
But and they're not the same.
It is not. There is a thin line, but that thin line is very, very major, and that can really misconfuse people, right? Because I feel religion has to do with a lot of fear, because religion is to do with that deity that you believe in any religion. It might be, you know, different names for different religion. And it's very bound because there are rituals, there are do's and do nots. There is a lot of fear attached to it. And there is a lot of, you know, bindings that the institution of religion itself does for you. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about spirituality, I feel it's more free. It's very free, and you have a lot of freedom, and you make your own path in spirituality.
So there's no one set road.
Of course.
You can create your own.
Yes, and definitely.
So which shows there is no way. So let's say you want to get on mm-hmm. down on this path of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Why is it that a lot of people end up wearing beads and like crystals, and like, is that how we should be?
Again, it depends from people to people. I would not say that is something you cannot do. If someone feels that's something they resonate to, definitely they can. But I feel someone who's doing like a very 9-to-5 job can be even more spiritual than people we see with those kind of attires, right?
How come? And how so?
Yes, because according to me, I feel like if you have this journey, spirituality gives a lot of discipline to your life, is what I feel, right? Waking up at certain time, having a ritual for you, working in a more spiritual way where you're very devoted to your work, and then coming back, again, you have a ritual. So you have this set pattern in your everyday routine. And I feel spirituality is not just, you know, going to a retreat or doing it for some months, but I think spirituality is every day for us, how spiritually we are doing our day-to-day task, or what is the set routine or system that we create for ourselves when we take this path of spirituality, or we go to study spirituality or make it a lifestyle. So I feel spirituality is a lifestyle.
So you would say it's less about what you do, but more about how you do things.
For sure.
Wow. So being a clinical psychologist, right? So I feel like you have the best of both worlds, or you see the best of both worlds, sure. Right? So starting off as a clinical psychologist, how did you then move into this path or integrate spirituality into your practice?
Sure. Of course, being a psychologist, we have our theoretical concepts. We have our conventional therapies. I'm sure we all are aware of, like when you talk about cognitive behavioral therapy or EFT, which is emotional focused therapy, or person-centered therapy, right? But in my journey, I was able to find this path where I like to integrate psychology with techniques of spirituality, which can be, you know, meditation or guided visualization, or helping the client to do some kind of body scanning so that they are more aware of what is really happening in the body and to be okay with few sensations in the body which might not be very pleasurable but stressful.
Right.
And also, because I do a lot of works with movements to see, because there are a lot of emotions sometimes get stuck in your body.
Right.
And emotion is not just about here, right? Or what you think. But there are certain parts of the body which has a lot of stuck emotions.
Absolutely.
And it's very important for us to help people first you have to acknowledge that there is an issue, or there is a problem, or there is something which is not very right.
Right.
Only when you're able to identify, acknowledge, is when your process will start.
Because I imagine whenever you go through any deep states of emotions, right?
Sure.
Our first way to deal with this is through to finding a logic or thinking about it. And when you can't do that, and that emotion doesn't get processed and it gets stored in the physical body. But then with time, if you don't resolve it, I imagine it just stays and stays and stays and stays in your body unless it is actually released.
Yes.
And this is where the body movement therapy comes into play. Is that correct?
And also I feel that when you feel some emotion which is very intense, I always tell my clients that do not try to bring cognition immediately, because when you are in a very tough space, your brain or your mind is not very equipped at that point of time to think anything rationally.
Mm.
So it's always, I feel it's very healing to stay with that emotion for some time and let your body and mind experience that emotion.
Mm.
Because again, these are just emotion. Why we are always inclined to just be okay with positive emotions. We should be okay to feel something, you know, which is not in the positive side.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. We cannot always feel positive. Right? So just to feel it for some time, and then if we try to bring in cognition or processing or, you know, accept, I think that's much, much helpful, and that is much, much authentic in your journey than, you know, that you make for yourself.
So let's take an example. So let's say if I am feeling very anxious right now, perhaps having a panic attack or at work, and I'm feeling very stressed, very anxious, what should I do in that moment to help deal with this anxiety and stress?
Sure. So at that moment, what I feel, that time you shouldn't think about why this anxiety is coming or where it stems from, but right now, like, you know, in that situation, the only focus is to just calm yourself down. And I feel in those situations, a lot of body, you know, releasing and breathing techniques is the best. Because when you're feeling anxious and there is a sort of panic attack, you cannot do a lot of tough stuff. You have to go very light and simple on yourself, right? There are a lot of breathing techniques, or sometimes just, you know, giving a very warm sort of a body massage to areas that you feel is, you know, maybe trembling, or there is palpitation, or just having, putting some ice or having some chill water. The first agenda is to calm your body and mind. Only when your body and mind is calm, you can go to the next step.
Isn't that very interesting? Because when you are in that state of fight or flight, or, you know, when you're scared, the last thing you would think about is how do you calm down? You would do things that are very much quick paced.
Yes.
Whether it's like moving or like, you know, everything is so agitated.
Yes.
But it's, and it's very counterproductive, right?
Yes.
Even breathing, you go like,
yes.
But
yes,
it's the opposite that we need to do.
Exactly. And I always tell my clients that in those situations, if you're just breathing, like, it doesn't help. Like what you showed, you have to just exhale through your mouth, making a sound so that you feel like a lot of panic is getting away from your system.
And that's when you activate the parasympathetic
nervous
system.
Correct. And we also use something called as progressive muscle relaxation technique, JPMR, so which, you know, we help the client to create tension in their body and also release it. Like, for suppose we create tension here and we release, which gives an, you know, idea and a condition to the client that we as humans have the power to create tension, and we also have the power to release when we want.
Oh, that's amazing. And it's so interesting you say this, because I did a yoga retreat once, and this was a yogic practice that we were all taught. So I wanted to ask you, let's say if I have an issue, right? Or if someone has an issue, how do I know who to go to? Do I go to a clinical psychologist? Do I go to a psychotherapist? Do I go to a yoga teacher? Or do I go to an energy healer? Who do I go to? Like, how do I know which modality or which practice is the right one for me?
Sure. I feel that, of course, when you talk about a lot of clinical problems, right? For example, to name few clinical issues, I would say if there is a person is going through depression or some kind of mood disorders, or, you know, on lines of psychosis, right? So these are very clinical terms. And for this, you have a diagnosis, right?
Yeah.
And there is a set rules of diagnosis that one has to feel this amount of symptoms for in persistent times of 2 weeks at straight, right? So then, of course, you know it is very clinical, because you have been diagnosed with it. You have gone through an assessment, and clinically you have been diagnosed. Then, of course, visiting a psychologist is something I would always recommend, because it's a clinical thing, right? But nowadays we also see a lot of issues which is very everyday, which is like, you know, overthinking or relationship issues or a lot of burnout from office, not being able to keep a balance between work and personal life, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, I feel, of course, you can go to a psychologist or psychotherapist so that you know where this issue is stemming from. You're able to talk about it, process it. And also you can go to a healer together. So that, you know, bodily also you're able to heal, take out the tensions, take your journey of spirituality. Alongside, you're also able to talk about these concepts, process them, accept them, and then take a journey of spirituality. So I think it can be an integration of two things when it's not clinically diagnosed.
Right. So what would you say are the limitations of both? So what are the limitations of going to a psychologist, and what are the limitations of going to, let's say, a spiritual healer or so on, and so, or the spiritual modalities, let's say?
Sure. So you also said about yoga, right? So as a psychologist, we often recommend people for yoga, right? That's also because sometimes when we see people who come with a lot of issues with aggression, there is a lot of unused energy in the body, right? And that gets channelized in socially not acceptable ways, which is like maybe having a fight with the spouse or the parents or just shouting at their children. A lot of projection happens, right? So things like, you know, yoga really help them to take out or channelize that energy in a very positive direction, which is beneficial for them, right? So we try to, you know, incorporate a lot of yoga in the recent times with our psychotherapy practices.
So it's becoming a very common practice being integrated to psychology.
We refer that you can go to a yoga modality, learn yoga, do yoga, right? Because yoga has benefits for both the mind and the body. It's not just mind or not just body. It's a perfect integration of both mind and body. So coming to your question, I feel as a psychotherapist, few limitations that we have is we will work on, you know, very theoretical things, or we will focus on their emotions. We will help them see patterns. We will help them work. We will give him a lot of stress coping mechanisms or a toolkit, right? But sometimes maybe we won't be able to heal few energies which is stuck in, you know, in various ways or maybe in past life, right? Because again, a psychologist will not do past life regression. For that, you have to study past life regression as a modality altogether. Or, you know, even if hypnotherapy is part of psychology, but not every psychologist will do. I do not know or do hypnotherapy because that's a different modality and an intense course.
Right.
So I feel those are the limitations that we will face.
Right.
Right. In some kind of issues, or maybe Reiki or pranic healing, those things we won't be able to provide for a client which is very energy based or which is very, you know, tapping some traumas or past life things in a client. Our trauma will be more on lines of, you know, PTSD, like post-traumatic stress disorder, where we help them to, you know, have exposure therapy or talk about it or visualize it or do some kind of role play so that we help them come out of that trauma.
Right.
Yeah. And likewise with the spiritual practitioners or the healers, they might sometimes not be able to tap on the theoretical part or how the human mind or how you behave in a certain situation. Right? It'll be more on, it's what I feel, it'll be more on lines of, you know, helping you connect to yourself, your surrounding, or, you know, tap on your energies or have your set of belief system or work on it. But sometimes I feel integrated can be so beautiful because when you know where it stems from, you're able to acknowledge it, work, and then heal. I think that's when you really heal.
So this is looking at it from like a, if you were to integrate them, it's looking at it from a very holistic and all-rounded perspective.
Because sometimes, you know, Nia, I would say that I have seen when meditation is such a powerful tool, right?
Yeah.
But people who are in intense pain and they just use meditation as a way to escape, meditation backfires you.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who cannot find the benefits of meditation if they're not able to tap on the root.
Because it's used as a way to escape.
Yes. Meditation is not a, modality that you use to, you know, escape from your reality. Mm. It's something you use to connect, enhance, and experience a more meaningful purpose of your life. It's not an escape, or it's not a defense mechanism.
Right. So you, a psychologist or a practitioner, they would really need to know who to recommend. I mean, what to recommend for certain clients based on what issues that they have,
like,
right?
Like someone who comes to me with extreme anxiety, I will never recommend a meditation to that client. We will work on it. And when we see there is progress, of course, then I would say that start doing meditation.
That's so interesting, because if you go to any doctor, they will say, oh, if you have stress, do meditation. You know, this meditation, you need to meditate. But that's crazy that you say that anxiety, you can't.
Yes, because it tends to sometimes backfire, make you very overwhelmed. Of course, meditation can anyways make you overwhelmed, but it should be in a healthy way, is what I feel.
So I have a question, which is, what role does discipline play in mental health? Mm-hmm. You know, let's say whatever issues you're going through in life, and if you're going on this path of healing journey, and whether it's therapy sessions and so on, what role does discipline play, and how important is it?
Mm-hmm. I feel whether it is the path of spirituality, healing, or psychology, any modality that we as practitioners do or we tell our clients, I think discipline is very, and I think it's the first step if you want to really get there. Because again, in that 60 minutes or 90 minutes, whatever sessions we do, I always feel like I cannot bring a miracle to the client if that is not taken as a lifestyle by the client at home. Because they come to our sessions for 60 to 90 minutes max, right? So they need to absorb that, and they need to make that thing a lifestyle change. For example, today if I tell a client that you'll do this sort of a thought replacement, and you should journal, right? If the client journals one day, not journaling for a week, again, then the client will never see the change. So to be very disciplined in the approach that you go, and to really reap the benefits of, you know, seeing a healer or a psychologist, I think you have to be very, very disciplined. And also, what are the goals and what are the expectations that you have and what you want to attain after each session? I think that is something should be very clear. I'm not saying we'll always reach 100%. Of course, there will be discrepancy. But something we know that today's session, we are aiming at that. I think that gives, that discipline gives a lot of clarity for, you know, the clients also, and for the healers or the therapist also. So I feel without discipline, no one can reach there, because it requires a lot of patience. I'm sure you'll agree with me.
Absolutely.
It is not a fast journey. And sometimes we see that clients get very in a hurry that, you know, it's been so many sessions. Why am I not there? So I feel it's a journey. It's a beautiful journey. And once you are able to make that alliance with your client, I think it goes for years. Then it's not just about, I have an issue. They just come because they just want to work and work. And, you know, very minor things they start working on. Mm-hmm. Initially, when they come, there is a big problem or an issue they come with. But as they get into this journey, I think they tend to see many finer things that they want to work on. And they just want to strive the best version of themselves, connect to themselves so much, and, you know, be sensitive, empathy. These are things that they want to work on.
Absolutely. But as you're saying this, what's also coming to my mind is, based on the kind of lifestyle that we all lead, where everything that we have is super quick and, you know, within our fingertips, what role does medications, like, what role do they play in our spiritual growth? Is it impeding our spiritual growth? Is it helping? What are your thoughts on incorporating medications with spirituality and psychology?
Sure. Again, depends if someone is on lines of too much of severity, right? Because we call as mild, moderate, severe, how the client, or in which phase of severity the client is in. If someone is very severe, of course medication is required, because then there are few hormonal things, medical things, which we cannot ignore. Even if we want to ignore, but we cannot, right?
Mm.
But I would say that people should not have the dependency on medicine. That is something I do not prefer, or I feel like that's not a good dependency, because then there's a lot of SOS. I'm sure you know, people feel panic SOS and they calm down.
Exactly. So
it should not be, because I know it's a quick relief than our practices.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
But that's a dependency that they are creating. But if they can have that dependency on their techniques and their willpower and their awareness, and you know, with a lot of authentic things that we as practitioners help them to learn, I think that's more long-lasting.
Wow.
And this sort of psychotic drugs also have a lot of side effects, which is not healthy.
Yeah,
they have a lot of counter side effects in terms of, you know, different ways. Some drugs also makes you feel very low after you take them. So we can always, you know, if it's severe, of course, they have to start with. Mm. But the idea should be they should have enough materials in terms of, you know, spirituality or psychology or meditation or yoga. There is so much that, you know, this world has to offer you.
Yeah.
So that slowly you can take away that dependency from medicine. So my goal is always not to, you know, see anyone being dependent on medicine. Definitely not.
So you briefly mentioned something about positive toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shed some light on that?
Sure. So again, when we talk about positive toxicity, it is a sort of a term which is very much interrelated, or maybe a part of spiritual bypassing, where people think that no, ignore all the bads, life is good, life is only about good things, I'm doing great, it's fine, I'm best, everything is fine. So they just push the unpleasant things of life and they just try to focus on positivity. Yes, it is very important for us to be, you know, positive, manifest positive things, or be, you know, optimistic, but not by not at all focusing what is the problem, right?
Yeah.
Today, if I have a crisis and I just ignore the crisis and I sit and think life is great, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's not going to help me.
Yeah.
Of course, we can always have this change of dialogue that I see a crisis, I can solve it and I will solve it, and then life is great. Versus there is no problem, life is great.
Yeah.
Because no one can say that life will never, you know, throw us problem. What I always believe is we can train ourselves to have better ways of dealing with problem, because we cannot assure there will be no problems at all.
So based on your practice, based on the clients you've seen, what have you noticed about these people or these clients that have helped them flip from, let's say, feeling helpless to not feeling helpless, feeling stressed to not feeling stressed? What does it take for someone to make that shift?
Mm-hmm.
What qualities, what characteristics do they need to build, or what gets developed through therapy that helps them do that?
Sure. First thing I would feel and I would say from my experience is resilience, right? The tendency to come back.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
The first thing is resilient, and I feel resilience is something we all need to work on, because life will throw us lemons at times, but we need to come back. And also when they step into this approach, of course they deal, we all deal life situations, but the difference is when they follow a path, the dealing is a healthy way. And when we don't follow a path, we deal it in a very toxic way, right? And I also feel there is a lot of shift in perspectives, a lot of shift as to how they see a problem. Mm. For example, I couldn't do this, hence I cannot do anything in life. Sort of, you know?
Yeah.
If not this, nothing. But no.
It's not black and white.
It's not black and white, right? If not this, maybe this is something I'm not good at, or this is not my forte. Let me discover what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm good at something, right?
Yeah.
So there is a lot of shifts that I see in my client.
Mm.
And they are able to, you know, with a lot of thought replacement practices that we do, with a lot of, you know, change of perspective, or a lot of Socratic sort of a questioning that we do, there is a shift in how they see a problem, right? And they're also able to acknowledge that there is a lot of overthinking, right? And we help our clients to look for evidence, because sometimes it's a very cooked up story. The problem might be 50, but story makes it 100.
Yeah.
So to write, and I personally tell them to talk with their problems, put cross the things that they feel is a cooked up story. So they're able to know what is the intensity of the problem and what is their overthinking, which is leading to that. And of course, they have a better, you know, toolkit to deal with the problem. So that is the shift I see. And also, I'm sure you'll agree with me, clients come with a lot of self-disbelief. So it's very important to work on their self-esteem, their self-love,
absolutely,
and their self-care. Because I feel self as a concept is very underrated, because we are so engrossed in this world of, you know, being someone's mother, daughter, partner, or whatever roles that we do in a day, that there is no time for me, self, as Arhi, or you as Nia, just me, Nia. Not Nia, the role that you take, or not Arhi, the role I take, right? So to work on self, I think that's beautiful, and that makes a lot of things come into place.
So you would say resilience and self-esteem.
Yes.
Wow. I love that. Thank you so much, Arhi. I think this was super insightful, and we touched base on a lot of key concepts that would give a lot of clarity to people who are embarking on this journey for the first time, because a lot of the times, not a lot of people know what is the right thing to do, because a lot of people think a psychiatrist and a psychologist, they're the same thing, but they're not. So just shedding some light on how these different modalities can help, and how integrating spirituality and psychology can be super beneficial. So thank you so much for that. So before we end, any last words for our audience?
Sure. Last words for the audience is something I really believe, that 24 hours is a long period, and at least 15 minutes give to yourself. 15 minutes, do something that you're passionate about, that you feel that I really like. And it's not big of an ask, just 15 minutes to begin with, because I feel if you are happy, you can keep others happy. If you are not happy, you won't be able to spread happiness. So let's prioritize self-care, which is like not a priority for many people. So let's prioritize and let's keep loving ourselves.
Thank you so much, Arhi. And thank you so much to all our viewers who are watching, listening, and tuning in through different platforms. I hope you found this episode extremely insightful. Hope you come back for another episode. Until then, take care and live light.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World, or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.